Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Key, this is usually where you ask me whether or not I know what this guy's singing.
Yeah, yes, ooh, man, come on.
I got the keys and keys and keys and I'm gonna keys it around to the easy.
The only word I get is keys.
If that's even what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't know. LZ, you got any advice on this?
Yeah, it's hold on. Who's gonna sign Cam? Cam? Who's gonna sign Cam? Cam? Who's gonna sign Cam?
It's only been a couple of days after the draft, but it is a couple of days after the draft, and he's still looking. We were having the conversation with Will a little bit ago. There are not. I know that you like the Chargers key, and it I guess it still makes a little bit of sense, but there's not a ton of vacancies for Cam Newton at this spot.
Well, it's not even for Cam Newton. Everybody keeps saying Cam Newton. For quarterbacks, there's not a lot of vacancies. And when you look at a guy like Cam, who's an NFL starting quarterback, unless you go to a team that quarterback is on the brink, then there's not going to be any real spots for you. The New England Patriots is a spot, but they obviously don't want to go the Cam route because they want to go younger and do it the way they want to do it. And then you can't go to the Jets. You can't go to the Giants. I mean, you start picking. You can't go to Minnesota. You can't. The quarterback room is full unless you just decide, I'm going to go back up, I don't know, Russell Wilson. But they don't want that heat. That's too much heat to put a dude in that position when you just paid a guy and then all of a sudden something happens, you come in, you take over, and you create a controversy around a quarterback. So it has to be the right fit. You're not going to send him to the Texans. You just exercise Watson option. You're going to pay him. He's your future. Like, where are you putting him? You're not putting him in Indy because Frank Wright has a guy that he coached in San Diego now with him in Indianapolis. Where are you going to put him?
Here's my thing, Key, and this has always been my thing when it came to both Cam and Jameis. I hear you 100%, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense. But there's one aspect of this conversation that you haven't been able to properly address, and that is the fact that if Cam was viewed as a certain level – all the other factors you're talking about would not matter. And I say this.
But that's not true.
Hold on. Let me finish. What I'm saying is that Kevin Durant was hurt. No one was able to test him out and see what it is. But Kevin Durant could have signed with any team in the league as soon as he was eligible because he was viewed like that.
Basketball is way different, LZ. Basketball approach is way different than football's approach.
So if Patrick Mahomes was become a free agent, he would be sitting out there waiting for someone to find out where he can fit? No, they wouldn't.
If Patrick Mahomes was in his 10th year, whatever year it is for Cam, and he came off a bunch of injuries, then Patrick Mahomes would be sitting around waiting just like everybody else when it's no vacancies.
But you guys want to force
a vacancy and force something open. Give me a team.
No, it's not that at all. What we're getting at here is that Cam Newton is what you just described. That Patrick Mahomes isn't 10 years in the way that Cam is that Cam's value as a guy has been drastically lowered because of the time that's run off the clock, because of his injury history, and because of the fact that there aren't any vacancies. It's all of this stuff, but it's also those things at the front end, because to LZ's point, if Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or one of these other guys did become available right now, even if I got my guy, I don't give a damn. I can get Patrick Mahomes. I can get Deshaun Watson. Yep, I'll take that guy. They would do it in a second.
Because they're younger. You're going to do it when they're younger. You're not going to – it's not apples to apples. This dude's – what is this for him? His ninth year? Something like that. He's been in the pros for a minute, and he's coming off an injury where you can't get a look at him. And on top of not being able to get a look at him, you don't know what his asking price is. The dude's not going from $21 million to $1 million to be a backup. It's not going to happen. So if you're suggesting – this is 10th year.
Yeah.
And if you're suggesting that that's what he should do, then you're suggesting the wrong thing.
No, all I'm saying is to make sure that as we talk about Cam, he's in his proper place.
It is in his proper place. It's his proper place. There's no availabilities. The Denver Broncos picked their guy.
If he was a tier one quarterback, you wouldn't say that.
If he was a tier one quarterback, he'd still be in Carolina. Tier one quarterbacks are not on the streets. But he's still a starter in the NFL. You can be a starter and not be a tier one.
I don't think you can be a starter and not be tier one. I don't think those two go hand in hand.
Oh,
if you're
okay. Carson Wentz ain't no tier one quarterback, and he's a starter. Jared Goff ain't no tier one quarterback, and he's a starter.
Well, there's only like 10 tier one guys in the league.
Just because you yell doesn't mean that you're right. I'm just simply telling
Jimmy
you
Garoppolo, tier one. He's a starter. He ain't no tier one.
What the league is simply saying is that he's not a tier one quarterback, because if you're a tier one quarterback, you would have been snatched up by now.
That's not true.
Tier one.
The tier one quarterbacks are with their teams, man. You're trying to confuse the listeners. Tier ones are with their teams.
Exactly. I'm not confusing it. You're backing up my point.
Well,
he's not a tier one. He's a starting quarterback without a job, because everybody has their starters. Nothing is opened up that makes sense. I don't understand why is it so hard to realize there's nothing out there. You can go from division to division.
No, but
everybody's either got a young quarterback or a veteran quarterback that got $100 million on his deal with 90 of it still due to him.
But, Key, I guess is the point not that they would create a vacancy for him if he were that guy?
Where are you going to create it at, though? You're not taking $100 million and pushing it aside to sign anybody.
What about like Denver, for instance? Why couldn't you? If he were that guy, to use LZ's example, I know it's not basketball.
Because they like Kevin Durant. They just drafted
loose.
They just drafted the kid from Missouri that they like.
Yeah, no, I
they like Drew Locke.
But you wouldn't say, I like this kid if Patrick Mahomes were available. You'd say, give me that guy right
now. That's not – but you're talking about a dude that's 3 years in the league that came off his MVP. Four years ago when Cam played in the Super Bowl, you wouldn't be saying that. You would be saying, oh, Cam's available? Let's get him right now. He's coming off an MVP in a Super Bowl. You cannot compare the two. You're talking about a kid that's 3 years in the league versus a guy that's 10. You really think that Tom Brady had that many options out there?
No, I don't.
He did not.
Yeah.
Except he had the one.
He had the one. Last.
He had the one, and they had an infinity for him because the dude that is the general manager drafted Tom Brady. So he was there with Tom Brady in New England.
But
so there's a relationship that's there to get that deal done.
But Brady did get a job, and Brady was considered by other teams.
Brady was looked at by other teams because Brady was a free agent. Cam Newton was not a free agent at the time of free agency. He was not. They didn't release Cam. They did not release Cam until later on in free agency when there was only like one job available.
Do you still think he gets signed sooner or later?
He'll before the season starts, he'll probably wind up getting signed with somebody. After the draft, before the season starts, I'm sure he's talking to a lot of people, and Cam's camp don't say a whole lot, if you ever noticed.
No, they
don't talk.
All right, so we watched episodes 3 and 4 the other day on ESPN. If you missed those, you can go back and watch not only 3 and 4, but all 1 through 4 on ESPN On Demand and on the ESPN app. 5 and 6 is coming up this Sunday night at 6, streaming live on the ESPN app and ESPN as well. Isaiah and his actions back in the Eastern Conference Finals a million years ago are still resonating. Let's take a listen to Isaiah right here. Let's listen to him talk about the decision to not shake hands after losing to the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And I think Jordan said something that was interesting in that take. He said, well, given time, you know, he may have a different opinion. And of course, in that moment, when we had lost, and remember, we were champions, so we were coming down from the throne. They were ascending to the throne. And everybody's emotions are different during that particular time. While we were coming down and they were rising, during that emotional period of time, did we do everything correctly? No. Did they do everything correctly? No. But that was it. You know, we walked off. We didn't shake their hands. And, you know, there's a, if you want to contextualize it, there's a lot of other stuff that was going on around that situation. But, you know, that's what happened.
What was the other stuff, though?
Well,
there are things like when they were up 3-0, they being the Bulls, Michael really trashed the Pistons as champions, even though it's still just the Eastern Conference Finals. And they were the champs. Michael trashed them. And in some ways, indirectly, also trashed the city of Detroit. And so you had that feeling going on. And
so what, you're going to take that? So MJ trashed the city of Detroit. So now what does that mean?
Well, that means you feel about him a certain kind of way that
you got your feelings hurt, put simply.
You've got to represent. I mean, it's the name on your jersey, and they're he's trashing all of this, in addition to the fact that they've had beef before they even had playoff fights. Remember Jordan's first All-Star game, he was essentially frozen out by Isaiah Thomas and Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a long history of slights from the viewpoint of Michael Jordan, both through the postseason, but also just trying to be accepted into the higher echelon of the NBA. And here finally was the chance in which Michael Jordan got to put his foot on his neck, and he went and said some stuff, and rightfully so, he was upset. But you don't get to own the entire story. Yes, you were upset, but you also have to allow for the Detroit Pistons to be upset too.
Well, he do get to own the story because of the MJ, period.
That's pretty much true, isn't it?
Exactly true. So you can fight it all you want to, LZ. He gets to own the story.
No, you don't. No one owns a story.
He does.
Now, you can side with somebody. Now, that's logical.
Well, I bet you more people side with him than they are Isaiah Thomas. Now, what you bet?
And there's
here's what I bet is that there is a reason why the national media sided with Jordan and dissed Isaiah Thomas, but did not even ask Larry Bird why you walked off the court against the Pistons back in '88. There is a reason for that.
And what's the reason?
I think you know what the reason is. There is a viewpoint.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I will help you out. There was a viewpoint collectively that Michael Jordan, at that time, if you wanted access to him, you had to sort of kiss the ring, if you will, and not hold him under the same level of scrutiny as other players, not even other all-stars in the league. In other words, if you wanted some time with Michael because you were a beat reporter or something, the scuttlebutt was you had to play ball. Well, that wasn't the scuttlebutt for Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, and that certainly felt like the scuttlebutt for Larry Bird. So if
do you
Larry
have a
Bird,
problem with that?
Well, do you have a problem with people getting all over Cam for not going to the press conference after the Super Bowl in the way that people thought he should have, but didn't say anything about Peyton Manning when he did the same thing?
Well, I don't look at it from that point of view. I look at it from where it is and how at that present moment. I can't worry about what the way they treated Peyton Manning versus the way they treat Cam. I can't. When you get caught up in those sort of things, that's when things go left on you.
There's another element to this too, and that
everybody
is
got their own. Everybody got their own way of viewing things, LZ.
Especially in light of the years that have gone by since all of this stuff, and even at the time, but it's certainly continued for the last couple of decades. People don't trust Isaiah. So when Isaiah is telling the story, when Isaiah is telling, well, here's what happened, and this is why we did that, and this is why this happened this way, and this is why that happened that way, people kind of roll their eyes because we've kind of gotten to the point where it's, there goes Isaiah being Isaiah. Now, he may be being sincere in this case. I don't know. I don't know Isaiah Thomas well at all. But Isaiah, we kind of laughed at it yesterday when we saw him on TV. You see Isaiah, you're like, there he goes again. Isaiah has that reputation, and it's going to follow him forever.
Well, he does have a little bit of a reputation, LZ, and I think, you know, that certainly hurts him. And in the eyes of Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan's beloved. So it's one of those deals where no matter what you feel about MJ and how he approaches things or done things, you ain't going to find a whole lot of people that feel a certain type of way about him because he's iconic. He's a champion. He's won. Everything he's touched has basically been gold. So it's you're treated differently. And in this case, Jordan is going to be treated differently than Isaiah. When Isaiah's on TV trying to defend himself.
I get it. I absolutely get it. I'm not saying that Michael Jordan doesn't deserve where he's at. I've always respected Michael Jordan. But the question of the question of the matter is though, why is the narrative set a certain way when something's just happened very similar 3 years prior? Why is this narrative different than the one before? And you got to ask, well, who's telling the stories? First of all, hold on one second.
Let me get in there real quick. Let's come back. We'll continue this conversation because there's a lot more.
What if I don't want to continue it?
You will. You will. I trust you. Bill Laimbeer also weighed in. He said he doesn't give a damn at all. We'll do all of that. We'll hear more from Isaiah. We'll hear from Bill Laimbeer as well. It's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right. So we're continuing our conversation about The Last Dance. Michael Jordan still, 20 plus years later, has very hard feelings about Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas was on ESPN yesterday and talking about a whole bunch of these different things and how he has regret for the way that it goes. And you got to think too, fellas, that one of the reasons for that Isaiah's regret, if it's sincere, is that he was not a part of that dream team. Let's take a listen to him talking about the fact that he was not on that 1992 Olympic team is a hole in his resume.
When the dream team was selected and I wasn't a part of it, there was a lot of controversy around it. And I still don't know who did it or why they say I didn't make it. I know the criteria for selection of making a team, I had fit all the criteria. And that's a big hole in my resume. I wasn't a part of it. That hurt me. And looking back, if I'm not a part of the dream team because a lapse in emotion in terms of not shaking someone's hand, if that's the reason why I didn't make the dream team, then I am more disappointed today than I was back then when I wasn't selected.
Well, I think he needs to be a little disappointed then, because I'm sure he didn't make it because of Michael Jordan, but I'm also sure that what he said, if I correct me if I'm wrong, LZ, allegedly rumors, as I remember growing up, he said something very disrespectful and rumorish, gossipy toward Magic Johnson of the Los Angeles Lakers. The Detroit Pistons and Isaiah Thomas are not beloved in L.A. Okay, not Chicago, L.A. with the Lakers. We don't like Detroit.
Nope.
We don't like the Pistons at all. But I think when you look at where he is or where he was at the time in his career versus the other two dudes and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson that I'm speaking of, who has the power? And when you combine that power together, of course you're going to be ousted if you're doing sneaky things behind people's back. It's just part of it. And Chuck Daly was the head coach, am I correct?
Yes. Yep.
And that was your head coach and you didn't get on the team? So what does that say?
You know, it's a really complicated conversation. I agree with you in terms of, you know, Chuck Daly being the head coach. But we all know with these dream teams, for the most part, head coaches are more like figureheads than they are actually telling you what to do, especially the first dream team. Chuck Daly was good at managing personalities, but he wasn't telling Michael Jordan, Magic, Bird. You know, he might have told Christian Laettner what to do, but that's probably about it.
It's not about telling them what to do. It's more about the influence that you could have on a situation.
Now, whether or not he had that,
but whether or not he had that influence, we obviously know that that wasn't the case because Isaiah's not on the team. So that tells you that the reason you're not on the team is because either Michael and Magic didn't want you, or both combined decided to say, you know what, leave him off the team. We'd rather have John Stockton because we don't have to put up with whatever little sneakiness is he got going on behind our backs.
And there's also the point, too, that, you know, just as Christian Laettner was selected over Shaquille O'Neal, you know, you don't know if John Stockton was also selected for marketing purposes as well. So you don't know, you know, what other factors were involved in terms of the process. We assume that Jordan and, you know, based upon some of the rumors that I personally have heard about in terms of the relationship that deteriorated between Magic and Isaiah post-HIV diagnosis, we assume that it was those two guys strong-arming the situation in terms of roster construction, and it's a good assumption. But it's also a question of, as they were putting this team together, Larry Bird couldn't even play at this point, and he still had him on the team because mm-hmm. they were doing something in terms of business. So you don't know if they made a business decision to have Stockton over there instead of Isaiah Thomas as well.
Stockton was a good player, though.
No, I was going to say,
John Stockton
was not as good as Isaiah Thomas in the moment. But
exactly.
It's not like they put Lonzo Ball on the team. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. John Stockton was a good little player. Wasn't nothing wrong with Stockton.
He was a nice player. That Isaiah wasn't
was
on
nice
the team
player.
In and of itself is insane. I mean, just Isaiah's resume at that point, he should have been on the team. Put that aside for a second. But look at this through the lens of 20-plus years later. Isaiah still feels a certain way about it. Michael, you saw when they put that video in his hands, and he immediately eye-rolled and said, yeah, I know what he's going to say before he even says it. These guys hated each other then. So this is, and it hasn't faded at all over 20 years, that this is very clearly a personal thing between those two guys. Maybe Magic had some influence in it as well, for sure. But Michael was the guy that was running the NBA at this point. Michael was the most famous face in this thing. So if Isaiah wasn't there and Michael and these guys hate each other, it's not a big leap to think that the handshake may have been the jumping off point, or at least maybe the end point of their relationship or the lack thereof between these two guys.
Man, I have no problem with Michael Jordan ousting Isaiah from being on the Dream Team. Because if I felt a certain way about you, Travis, I don't want you around me. I don't care if it's 20 years, 30 years, 5 years. If I'm not messing with you, I'm not messing with you, period. It's just, and I have no problem with MJ treating Isaiah that way. I'm sorry, I just don't.
Isaiah is going to
dress. I don't have no problem with MJ treating the city of Detroit that way. I have no problem. Period. If he feels that way, then so be it.
Yeah, I personally.
Because again, here in LA, we don't like Detroit Pistons anyway.
I know, because we won 2 out of 3 times we faced in the finals. I get that.
We don't like the Pistons in LA anyway.
The point of the matter is that there are several different conversations happening at the same time. There is a construction of the Dream Team, which is nebulous. But what isn't nebulous is exactly how the two feel about each other. And I would be curious, and we're having Isaiah Thomas on, which is fantastic, because I am curious as to what the conversation with Jordan was like the year that Jordan made the All-Star team and Isaiah Thomas was the coach of the All-Star team. You know, as a reporter in Atlanta at the time, you know, there were several unsourced reports that Isaiah Thomas really strong-armed Vince Carter to come off the bench to allow Michael Jordan to start in that game. Now, it feels like to me that if they were still petty at that point in their careers, there is no way Isaiah Thomas would have gone to bat for Michael Jordan in that capacity. The fans didn't vote him into the All-Star game as a starter. Isaiah Thomas wanted him in as a starter as a sign of respect. So I'm very curious as to, you know, where they were at that particular juncture. Because remember, this documentary is about how they felt back in the 80s and 90s. And then you fast forward where Isaiah Thomas is head coach of the Pacers and Michael Jordan is an All-Star. Something got resolved in order for that to happen.
Well, maybe temporarily. But like, you know, what Key said a minute ago, I think is probably there are some guys that you hated when you're 20. You hate them when you're 30. You hate them when you're 80. You just never, ever get over it. And that wound is fresh. And I think that these two guys, maybe for an afternoon and an All-Star game, they can get through it. But this idea that bridge gets rebuilt and that relationship is repaired, they still, 20-plus years later, at least from Michael Jordan's perspective, that is still a very fresh moment.
And just because Isaiah is trying to take the fake political role of, oh, I want him in as an All-Star, as a starter, okay, so what? It started, not started. Okay, big deal.
Well, put it this way. If you thought Michael Jordan was the head coach of the All-Star team and Isaiah Thomas was the All-Star that wasn't voted in, do you believe that Michael Jordan would have advocated for Isaiah Thomas to be a starter?
Because Isaiah Thomas's feelings toward Michael Jordan is not as deep as Michael's toward Isaiah.
Right.
So there's a difference there, LZ.
Well, that was my point, Keyshawn.
But Michael Jordan has already been on record saying he cannot stand the Detroit Pistons, Detroit, and Isaiah Thomas.
To this day.
Isaiah has not been on the record as saying that about the Chicago Bulls.
All right. So obviously the sports world has been on pause for a long time now. And the Anaheim Ducks have converted one of their practice facilities, the rinks in down here in Orange County, into a food bank for some of the needy families here in Southern California. We're going to have Art Trottier, the vice president of the rinks, join us next to tell us about that. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, so like the NBA and Major League Baseball and potentially the NFL as well, the NHL has paused their operations while we're all dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, which means that a bunch of facilities are not being used right now. Joining us right now is Art Trottier, who is the vice president of the Rinks, which is a facility down here in Orange County at the Great Park in Irvine where the Anaheim Ducks conduct practice. They've converted one of their rinks into a food bank for the Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County. Art, good morning. Appreciate you coming on. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Can you tell us the process in terms of this decision coming down? When did conversations begin, and how tough was it to work out the logistics?
It started a few weeks ago. It was pretty easy. You know, the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center partnered with Second Harvest to do the food giveaway on Saturday mornings, and they reached out to us, Second Harvest, and asked if we had any facilities that could house some dry goods for a while. And we just happened to take down a couple of the ice sheets in Great Park, so we had plenty of space to help them out, and we were thrilled that we could be part of it and help them out at this time.
That's what I was going to ask you about, taking down the ice sheets, if the ice was still up or did you take it down? How is it constructed? Is it in the arenas or is it in the parking lot?
No. Yeah, so what we did, Keyshawn, is we have four sheets of ice in our new facility in Irvine, and we took out three of the sheets. So the dry goods are being stored on Olympic-sized sheets, so it's 100 by 200, so about 20,000 square feet of floor space, and that's where we're storing everything right now.
Art Trottier, the vice president of the Rinks, 120 pallets of pre-made food have been delivered to the facility right now. Is it something that people that are in need right now, Art, can come and pick up food, or do they still need to go to Honda Center? I know that there's some distribution going on Saturday mornings, or can they come directly to the rink at the Great Park?
No, they still have to go to the Honda Center on Saturday morning. We're just storing all the food right now.
So what has been some of the numbers you can share with us in terms of the people that you've helped?
Well, this is all through Second Harvest, and I know the lines have been pretty long on Saturday mornings or the last few Saturdays. So we have another shipment of about six or seven trailers coming in on Thursday, and I think there's one more phase that will come in the following week.
All right, take me through the process of, you know, obviously the Ducks use that as their practice facility and you're involved in working with them, but just the conversion of going from, okay, we're waiting to see when we're going to get back on the ice, and now all of a sudden, you know, we'll see when and if the NHL starts again, but the decision to say, okay, we have enough space to do this, we don't need to worry about necessarily the hockey right now, we can worry about helping people in the community.
Yeah, it was for us, it was a pretty easy decision. So we took, when this all started, we figured we'd be down for a while. So we took three of the four sheets out at Great Park and kept the one up, the Five Point Arena, we kept the ice in. But we took the three sheets out a couple of weeks ago, and they reached out to us. It was a very easy decision to make to help out at this time. So we have plenty of space. I think the Olympic sheet is almost filled with dry goods, and we have, if they need more room, we still have two more sheets we can use to house all these foods during this difficult time.
How difficult was it to remove it, and how difficult will it be to replace the sheets once this is all over with?
It'll take us a few weeks, probably about 10 days to get the ice back in. So I think working with Second Harvest, we've had conversations with them and no issues there. When hopefully this ends soon, we'll put the ice back and get back to somewhat normal, whatever normal will be like in a while. So it's pretty easy for us. It'll be an easy transition. This is something we do all the time. We take our ice in and out during the summer for maintenance. So it's something we're used to doing.
Art, if people want, excuse me, Ozzie, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was just wondering, Art, if people do want to make a donation, obviously the Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County, you guys are storing the goods on their behalf. Do they need to go and find a location to make a donation there, or can they come down to the Rinks and do it directly in your facility?
I think the best thing for them to do is go to feedoc.org, and there's instructions there on anybody that's interested in donating foods, goods, or even volunteering. I know some of our staff in the Ducks and the Honda Center staff have volunteered at the Honda Center on Saturday mornings and directly at the Second Harvest Food Bank.
Art Trottier is vice president of the Rinks. They are using the Ducks practice facility as a location to store the goods for the Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County. Art, appreciate what you're doing for the community. Appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
You got it. You know, it's one of those things we've talked about, guys, that it, as much as it sucks that we don't have games to talk about, as much as it sucks that we don't have live sports, it's really nice to see people that are engaged in the professional sports world come back and help the community. I mean, the Ducks have a giveaway on Saturday mornings where they're giving away this food. They're using their practice facility to store the food because there's not enough places to put it. It's just that, you'd rather have hockey. You'd rather have baseball and basketball and football. But because we don't, it's nice to see these sorts of actions taking place.
Yeah, they've been pitching in. That's what it's all about. It's all about helping one another out. And this facility obviously had the necessary room to store the goods, and so it alleviates one stressor for the particular people that are involved. Okay, we have a storage facility. So now that's one that you check off the list.
Yeah, it's been absolutely, fantastic. You know, I want to start off by just, giving a shout out again to Kevin Love, who, as far as I know, was the very first figure in sports to open up his wallet, open up his resources, and say something needs to be done. He did that within the first day or so of the NBA season being canceled. And from there, it's just kind of been rolling. I talked about it, last month when New York was at the height of its struggles. You know, they opened up the facilities from the Tennis Association and the Billie Jean King Center, using that as a makeshift hospital to keep people because they were running out of room in other spaces around the city. So in every facet in different sports, it's been wonderful to see resources as well as muscle and elbow grease being used to help. But shout out again to Kevin Love for really getting this thing going. He didn't wait.
No, it's look, I've said it before, and at the risk of being a little sappy, most people will do the right thing given the right opportunity. And I think we're seeing that over and over. There are bad guys in the world that do bad things for no reason, but you're seeing a lot more people doing good things, including an operation like this down at the Rinks in Orange County, including Kevin Love, including James Harden, all of these different guys that we've highlighted that have donated their time, their money, their celebrity, whatever it is, their facilities. They're doing the right thing. Like you said, Key, chipping in on whatever level you can. If you're an individual, maybe you can chip in on a small level. If you're an entity like an NHL team or an NBA star, maybe that chip in is a little bit bigger.
And that is that's something that, that leagues had to probably wrap their arms around to figure out how can we help in certain situations, teams. And I'm sure this is just one example, but I'm sure in other states there's other teams and facilities and organizations that are doing the same.
Yeah, and there's also good news, too. We're getting closer. You're hearing more and more of these leagues talk about plans to get back baseball. Jeff Passan had an article about it's not a matter of if, but matter when and how they get back on the field. We're seeing that the Lakers are talking to people in the mayor's office about getting some of their players into the facility, some of the precautions that they'll take. But it does feel like we are much closer to sports now than we were just a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that was kind of going to be the case, right? I mean, if you go back several weeks ago, everybody was speaking different languages. Then all of a sudden, everybody started talking the same language, and now they're talking the same language even more. And states and governors are getting together with each other. They're not, separated. Everybody's kind of trying to work together under the same umbrella. You think, go back, a week ago, everybody was screaming and hollering the dangers of opening up certain states in certain situations. Now it's kind of somewhat, it's still there, but it's like, okay, here's phase one. We can only open this, this, and this. Okay, this is what we'll do in phase two a week and a half later, and a week and a half later we'll do this, 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 and this. So it's ramping up to the point where at some point it's going to be an end to it, and sports will be back on the fields, in the diamond, back in the courts, with or without fans. We'll soon see.
All right, thanks to the Ducks and Art Trottier for coming on and talking about that. Take It or Shake It is coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, let's start with one of our favorite topics, the Cam Newton topic. The latest place is Jacksonville for Cam Newton. Jacksonville is the best fit for Cam Newton. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Oh, no, still no job.
No, the best fit for him is the Chargers, but – you know, because they're a team that's poised to win sooner rather than later, where Jacksonville's got a lot of internal turmoil. You got the players arguing with the owner and the owner arguing with the player on Twitter. Like seriously. Like, stop. It's just not a good – it's not a good place. I think it's an ideal place for people that want to talk about it, but I think the best place and the best fit for him – is the Chargers. The Chargers probably won't do it because they feel good about Tyrod Taylor. They drafted Justin Herbert, which to me is no excuse to get a veteran quarterback that can help you win right now, because as a coach and Coach Lynn, they're not giving ready to give you a 7-year extension when you're not winning. They just not going to do it.
Let me do one more Cam here. It's a better than 50-50 shot that Cam Newton is not on a roster at the start of the season. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Shake it. Oh,
yeah, he'll certainly be on the roster by the beginning of the season. Who roster that is, I don't know. What Cam's asking for, I don't know. When a guy is $21 million, was due $21 million, I certainly can't see where he would be willing to take a veteran minimum to try and prove it when he's already proved himself multiple times in the years of playing quarterback that he could play the position and play it at a pretty high level.
Not $20 million, but would he be willing to take a deal like Marcus Mariota, you think? I mean, there's the low-end
no, Marcus Mariota and Cam Newton are not even in the same circle, man. We can't – you know, I understand what Marcus Mariota did. I understand what Ryan Tannehill did. But those guys were not Super Bowl appearance guys. Those were not MVPs. Those were not iconic at their time, iconic quarterbacks in the NFL. They were never considered one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the league at once upon a time. So you can't do that to him because you did it to the other ones.
All right,
I don't see it happening.
Excuse me. Let's take a listen to Tony Kornheiser here from PTI saying, Aaron Rodgers, you need to ask for a trade.
I think Aaron Rodgers ought to consider asking for a trade. That's how much I think this is a ridiculous pick on their part. Aaron Rodgers does not have around him what Mahomes does, what Breeze does, what even Garoppolo does. Every year they don't draft anybody to help Aaron Rodgers. And they say, you're so great. Go out there and turn water into wine. And pretty much all the time he does that. This could not happen on any other team in the league because other teams have owners. And you would have to go to the owner and say, we're thinking of trading up to get a quarterback. And the owner would say, what? What are you, nuts? Get out of here.
Aaron Rodgers should ask the Green Bay Packers for a trade.
Shake it.
Take it or shake it.
Shake it. That was quick.
Yeah, why would you go ask for a trade? You just play with the players that they give you. Okay, you got Devontae Adams. We don't know what Devin Funchess is going to be. They seem to like the young receivers that they had from a year ago, 2 years ago. They drafted a whole bunch of them. They seem to be okay with that. Just let's see how it works. I'm not one to jump all in. Oh, they didn't draft a guy. First of all, there was nobody in this draft that was like that. I don't know how many times I got to keep saying that. There was nobody, as much as they want to say the receiver position was deep, yes, it's deep in terms of second and third receivers, but there's no frontline guy. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, he's the frontline guy, he's going to be their number one guy? No, absolutely not.
No, there's no Megatron. There's no one of those guys coming into it. But it is, Kiki, it's really curious to me that they have never mind this year, they have never taken that position in the first round since Aaron Rodgers has been their guy. That seems like more than a coincidence.
And they probably don't feel the need to. Certain organizations do goofy things, Travis. They build differently. Everybody doesn't build the same. Think about it. The New England Patriots just lost one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Man, they didn't even blink to draft a quarterback when everybody kept telling them they needed to. They needed to. They needed to. Did the New England Patriots even think about a quarterback? No.
They signed two guys off the street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which they would have done anyway with Tom Brady there.
All right, let's go to the NBA. Let's go to The Last Dance. Tony Kukoc is not getting his fair share of love so far. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, no love.
Well, because Tony Kukoc, the conversation is really not about the 98 Bulls. They haven't gotten there yet. They haven't gotten to the 97s, the 90s. They haven't gotten there. They're still talking about early on shaping the career of Michael Jordan, kind of give you a little Dennis Rodman, a little background there, a little Scottie Pippen. They haven't gotten there yet. I think they get there in next, you know, six episodes, seven episodes, eight. They start to head toward that way.
He was an important part of what they did. He wasn't Scottie, he wasn't Michael, he wasn't Dennis, but this was a guy that made it was an important part of what the Bulls did for that second run.
No, which is true, but think about it. They're not really talking about that yet. They're still talking about how they got there. You know, how they're giving you the storyline of building on how they became what they became. So I'm not worried about that. I think Kukoc will get there. They ain't really talking about nobody. They ain't really talking about Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr has been on camera.
I understand, but Kerr is relevant right now, LZ. He's coaching. He's right in our face.
That's not the conversation you just said, Steve Key. LZ. You just said it's about the build-up to his career, and now you're saying, well, he's relevant right now.
Because it's a build-up to the year. But because Kerr is right here in our face, they're not talking about Kerr. They're asking Kerr about questions about their teams.
Why not Kukoc? Because
Kerr is in our face.
But Kukoc was just as an important part of that team.
I'd rather listen to Steve Kerr than listen to Tony Kukoc right now. Because Steve Kerr is currently an NBA head coach.
He's American.
He's so stupid. He's
American. You wonder if there's hard feelings. We'll see, because I'm trying to think. Refresh my memory, guys. Have we seen Kukoc at all?
No, that's my point. How do you not have a guy who won an individual award during this run? How do you not have a guy who was really kind of important to your overall success? I understand that Steve Kerr is relevant right now. You make an excellent point, Key, in the sense that, you know, his face brings notoriety.
Y'all want every damn thing all at once. Calm down.
But we've seen B.J. Armstrong, and we still haven't seen Tony Kukoc.
We've seen Will Perdue. We've seen Bill Wennington. We've seen all these.
And you may see.
We've seen Judd Boosler.
You may see Tony Kukoc or you may not see Tony Kukoc, depending on his accessibility. Was he accessible? Did they get to him? We don't know. It's only four episodes. You got six more to go. Calm down.
I'll tell you what, we've seen
and no Kukoc.
We haven't seen him at all. And I'll tell you what, if we don't see him, let's say we go through the next six episodes, Key, and we don't hear from Tony Kukoc on camera in one of those interview situations that we've seen from everybody else, there's a story there. Why is he not there? Is he still holding back from the 92 Olympics where they broke his soul? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know what that would be. But all I want to say to y'all is stop reaching. We got six more episodes.
It's not a reach. It's a fact.
It got six more episodes.
All right. USC football is in as bad of a place as it's ever been. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, it took a while. Take it.
As LZ likes to say, the narrative is that. So when you look at it,
that wasn't a very good LZ, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It never ends.
When you look at it, it certainly doesn't look good for SC in a lot of different ways, whether it's recruiting, whether it's the head coach being retained, whether it's a staff that he put together where the defensive coordinator was fired from Texas and hired here. I mean, it's all crazy. But then you come out in the draft on Sunday at the end on Saturday, and nobody is drafted other than two players, and it's hard for other guys to even be signed as undrafted free agents and priority free agents. So it gives the program a bad look as a whole. They're going to certainly use it in the recruiting realm and see what happens from there. But yeah, USC's program right now is in pretty bad shape. Needs to get fixed.
We will circle back to that eventually as well. But coming up next, we're going to talk about baseball is getting closer. The NFL has contingencies in place, and even NBA teams are asking to get back into their facilities sooner than later. That's all coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.